Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I was trying to get to London. Let's get married. They want 2 weeks. What's up? No, I think we're good, but they want a 2 week quarantine. I can't just lay low. Yeah, it's hard to enforce. The thing is though, like my grandfather's at the I don't want to risk you know, risk this. But it seems like it's fine. Yeah, he's getting the hang of things. He's getting the swing of things. He doesn't know what it is. That's it. That's why he does it. Yeah, for sure. All right, JB, that's how you're going to be? That's it. Yeah, I could make it any way you want. No, as long as you're talking. All right. Nice. Yeah. What a podcast is. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that was it. I think it's pretty tough. Right. Yeah. The classic. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. All right, ready whenever you guys are. All right, here we go. Sunday night, Nick. Salute to Nick Nation. CP from the Fan TV checking in. On tonight's episode, JL's trade winds are swirling around MSG. And I need your reaction to it. We're going to talk about those trade rumors. We're going to talk about Money Mitch. Mitchell Robinson is going to be eligible for a. Hang on, let me just turn off my mute. I was on double sound there. So we're going to talk about the trade rumors. Also, Mitchell Robinson contract. You know, the Knicks will be eligible to extend Knicks. So we're going to talk to our guy, Jeff Ballone, a.k.a. the Knicks Film School originator, on that topic. And RJ Barrett's all rookie team snub, rookie of the year snub. Let's talk about that and what RJ is going to do to bounce back in his sophomore year. Hit that thumbs up button before. Salute to everybody in the chat. All right. I mentioned this a couple times, once on lottery night and another show, and that is that sources are telling Knicks fan TV. We got sources now. So every once in a while we get like, I'm not a journalist, but you know, every once in a while we get the birdies. You know, birdies come through and talk to us. So what the birdies are telling us is that number one priority this offseason for the Knicks will be trading Julius Randle. They're going to look to trade Julius. And the first trade rumor that I'm hearing is Julius Randle to the Utah Jazz for Mike Conley and draft consideration. Now, obviously, from the Jazz standpoint, you know, there's been questions in terms of Conley's fit. And his chemistry out there with Donovan Mitchell, obviously he's taking a step back. The Jazz are going to be looking to re-up Donovan Mitchell this fall season and keep their team competitive in the West. For the Knicks, obviously it's something that, you know, the stretch four position is something that is most easy to fill. And also the point guard position. You know, and if they make this move for Conley, it's a stopgap until they figure out, you know, whether they get one in the draft that they're going to bring up or they get one later on down the road. So, well, what do you guys think? Conley for Randle swap. JB, what do you think about Agree. I mean, like I said, I've said this all year, you know, I understand the fans' frustration with Randle. I felt like he was a guy that played outside of his normal role, meaning that he came in, he had to be the number one guy, and we know that's not who he is. He had an up and down season. You know, obviously, he wanted to see the three-point shot be there for him. It definitely dipped off from his last season with the Pelicans. Not a guy that I want to give away, but if you're talking about getting draft capital back, I would certainly look to do that. Obviously, it frees things up for RJ and Mitch. You look at how these teams are running, man. A lot of these teams, they're opening up that four spot. You know, it's a lot of wings, a lot of versatile wings. You're seeing a lot of small forwards in that four spot, guys that can stretch the floor. Do the Knicks go with Bertans and free agents? Do they go after Danilo or Christian Wood? Do they give that spot to Kevin Knox? Right, if Knox moves in, does Iggy move up on the depth chart? You know, they have a lot of options. That's the thing with the Knicks this offseason and moving forward. They have a lot of options, and I think you move Randle to have even more, especially if you're going to be talking about getting some draft capital back. So I would definitely look into it. Yeah, bro. Yeah, I disagree with you, Jales. I think he would play a ton. And first of all, you can get Peyton out of there, which I'm two thumbs up on that. I think Conley coming in here would play a ton, even if you go draft a point guard, whether it's at 8 or at 27. I think. Got you. Yes, from an injury standpoint, yes, it's certainly a risk. But yeah, like I said, I think you can still go out and get him. Still draft your point guard, have him groom that point guard. And if he's healthy, I still think he can help this team even though he's taking a couple steps back. So I think it's a win-win for both teams.
They're moving a large contract where Randle is, I guess, Nick, yeah, he makes less.
Randall's about 18 and Collins 30.
Right. So you're putting up like $50 at a cost. And the Knicks, because they have, they don't have to match salary if the trade after clearing off some of their non-guaranteed contracts, so they can just absorb it back. So to me, it's also like a benefit from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, one thing on Randall is, you know, it's easy, I think, for Knicks fans that, you know, tired of seeing him do the same sort of things last season, and it got frustrating. But it's, you know, if Mitch wasn't here, if Mitch wasn't like a center, you know, a cornerstone piece,
right,
then, you know what, you can maybe, you know, make an argument for how Randall can fit into the right offense. You got a new coach coming in, and maybe that can help, right? Doesn't make sense when Mitch is the guy that you want to develop to have Randall, you know, playing next to him.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I think that they will look to deal him. Because like I said, with Utah, they want to keep the Spider happy. They're going to max him out. And I think they're going to look for that cap. They don't have much cap space. They're not working with much cap space right now. And so you do that deal, it frees them up. They can go out. Maybe they go out and try to get Danilo in here. Certainly there was a need for front court depth. They showed that in the bubble. They struggled to provide some depth behind Gobert, some scoring depth as well, mm-hmm. especially with Bojanovic out. So I think it's a trade that makes sense for both teams. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Brick City, Newark. Towen is with us. He wants to weigh in on the point guard situation. What's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing?
How you feeling, bro?
I'm all right. You? I'm just looking at the NBA. It's starting to be like rap music, like the mumble rap thing. You know, as far as like, I mean, I'm serious. You got mumble rap, and then you got people that like lyrics. So now, When it comes to basketball, everybody's looking for a point guard that scores 30 and 40 points. It's not like back in the day when you got a point guard that distributed the ball. You know what I'm saying? The conventional point guard. And then you got point guards in your own backyard. Like, you got a Shamari Pons looking for work. You got people like Marcus Levet out of St. John's. He's a passer and he can score. I mean, it's not too far to look. You know what I'm saying? That's just my thought of it. And then as far as drafting a point guard, I would go with Tyrese Haliburton because I mean he's more complete. The next complete thing to ball that I believe. You know what I'm saying? That's who I would want to run the backcourt. We got scorers. We just need to get a point guard that can distribute the ball to these people. That's it.
Appreciate
That's all I got. Thanks.
I mean, we definitely need some scores. This is all, but, you know, I think his point is that there's plenty of ways to skin a cat. No, you don't need the next Kyrie Irving, but until you get that person on the wing that can be that
right.
dog for you, you're going to look for the point guard, man, to get you guys in order and be that engine. JB, I haven't spoken to you since the lottery and everything. What are your thoughts on the draft? Are you point guard or bust? Is there a prospect that you like so far? What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, I always say with the draft, I don't watch these kids, so I'd be making things up to tell you I really like one guy or the other. But, you know, obviously falling to 8, it just, to me, opens everything up. I really think it makes it more likely they move that pick, whether it's they, you know, acquire and veteran guy or to move up or I guess to move back, right, to get more picks. So no, there's, you know, I think people are convincing me that this is Poku, they call him. I know Macri and Spencer and all them, they're trying to convince me. I think a guy like Tyrese Haliburton seems like a safe pick, but it seems like no one is really excited about him. And you worry about the Knicks making a move like that. So, but like I said, I just don't know these prospects well enough to feel like, oh, you know, they got to go get this guy versus they got to go that guy. But back to that, I mean, to me, that has been something that I feel like we have talked about for a little while with the Knicks, where it's always about they got to go out and get this point guard, and it's usually about a point guard who can score. And it's like, I don't know, a lot of really good teams. I know now we're seeing it with Harden and the Rockets, but, you know, traditionally, to his point, you don't have your point guard being your leading scorer always on
these
teams,
wing.
Right?
It's the wing.
Exactly. So, you know, I see his point there, too.
If you have a playmaking wing, right, then it doesn't, you know, behoove you to get point guard and all that. But since we don't really have a playmaking wing, I know RJ has potential to maybe do that, even though he hasn't played that role. And we don't really know what we have with that, but until we have a playmaking wing, then it just seems more essential to have his guard who can, at least bare minimum to me, break down the defense without a screen. Which is why I wouldn't go Haliburton, even though I do like Haliburton's team in general. I just feel like we do need someone who can knock down, break down a defense. And set the table a little bit, guys.
Yeah, I think it all depends on who you have, and you guys have both made excellent points, right? The wing being that playmaking engine, I think Haliburton is going to be able to help any team just based on his profile, his defensive attributes, and his catch and shoot prowess from three. It's just who is that next piece, whether it's at the three or the four, that's going to put the rest of the pieces together. You know what I'm saying? So, again, interesting. But I'm like you, JB. I go off of mainly profile, right? Like, around that time of the eight pick, you're seeing a lot of wings at that spot. You see 3D wings. You're seeing an ice scorer who many are comparing to Jimmy Butler, right? And my point is swing for the ceiling. Swing for the highest ceiling. Whoever they have on that draft board, I don't want to go safe. You know, Haliburton, if they sell the state pick, go somewhere. You know, swing for the fences at eight and see where you end up.
I think that's fine. And, you know, every draft, that's the first fit. It's like, you know, you go back and look at these drafts. I mean, when are you ever going back looking at a draft saying, oh, you know, I'm glad this team took this player at the position? Like, you're just looking at who are the best players taken.
Yeah.
Now, I will say you don't want to necessarily draft a guy that you have some, you know, like we have Mitch. You know, if you're going to keep him on the team, and I guess it would be the next topic we talk about long term, then obviously you might hurt the development of a player that's the same position. So maybe he doesn't realize his potential the same as he would if he was somewhere else.
Yeah.
So in that regard, it makes sense to consider position. But otherwise, just you really got to take the best guy. That's what's going to matter next.
That's what I'm saying. Back to the phones. Let's go to West Coast Josh from San Diego.
Josh, how you feeling, man?
What's going on, CP? How you doing today?
How you feeling, bro?
Not much. So first thing I want to say is I think that would be a really good trade for the Knicks to make, the Randle for Conley straight up trade. But I do want to defend Julius Randle a little bit in this standpoint because I know a lot of Knicks fans hate him. Julius Randle was our best player last year, and we really didn't have a really good point guard to really handle the ball like that, and we had no spacing. Just because Julius Randle was doing the majority of the ball handling, and which is not really something that he's really good at, I feel like Knicks fans are really just criticizing him a little bit too much. I think if the roster was a little bit more balanced and you had that spacing on the floor, Julius Randle would be more of an asset than a detriment to the team. So that's number one. With all that being said, I do like that trade. I think bringing Conley, even though his contract is steep, you have a point guard right there, former All-Star, not only his scoring ability, his three-point shooting, and his ability to distribute and everything like that. So I think that's a really good deal. And last thing I want to say, I really don't like the fact that Knicks fans are calling Mitchell Robinson a cornerstone. I really am struggling with that because the guy really can't do really much on offense. I mean, no other franchise would consider a player like Mitchell Robinson a cornerstone. Mitchell Robinson is someone that's going to develop into a complementary role player type of player on any other team that you put around others. But us as Knicks fans, we don't really have anybody else, so we call Mitchell Robinson his cornerstone. I just really struggle with that.
Hey, interesting, and that's a perfect segue to JB's article, Daily Knicks. And JB, you wrote about some of the contracts.
Yeah, no, I think the question is that Paula brought up. He is a cornerstone in the sense of, based on the assets they currently have, you look at Mitch Robinson and RJ Barrett, those are your best assets, right? But in terms of when you're now thinking about, he, you know, he signed a 4-year contract, but since he was a second round pick, and this is what I covered in the article, his contract works a little different. So normally when you are a first round pick, you're on a rookie scale contract, and after 4 years, you become a restricted free agent. So you, you know, the team gets a chance to keep you. But what's different, and we saw this with Nikola Jokic in Denver, is if you're a second round pick, after 4 years, you become an unrestricted free agent. So you're free to go anywhere. So the Knicks are in a position right now where, since it's the second year anniversary of his contract, he's now eligible for an extension, and they need to decide, do we extend this guy now? I think he's going to develop into maybe, you know, either a star player or a role player that's so good they can't live without him. And I feel like that's a better way. So can you extend him now for a cheaper price than if you wait until either next year when you can make him restricted or the year after when he's unrestricted? The problem, though, with doing that is he's so cheap right now. He's going to make $1.6 million next year and $1.8 million the year after that. So you have to say to yourself, well, geez, if we do nothing and he develops like we think he does over the next 2 years, yeah, he's going to be expensive, but we just got all that production for less than $4 million over 2 years. So there's a lot to consider there.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jill.
It's just like stock, man. It's like stock, like buy or low. I mean, I think bare minimum he's going to be a rotational piece. Even if he develops a little bit more in defense end, which I fully expect from the Thomas pickup, I feel like he'll be a rotational piece for years to come. So I would definitely try to extend it personally. And
right now? Right now.
I would extend it personally.
Yeah.
And then see what happens. I fully expect him to develop at least as a guy who can, you know, set a proper screen, block some shots, get the rebounds. I think that's going to be, you know, whether he expands his offensive game is another story. It seems like he's done that a little bit in high school, putting the work in the summer. Will they let him go? Will they let Mitch Shamgod? No.
Well, I mean, look, I think, and this is my guy. Y'all know I go to war for Mitch, but I would wait. I would wait, keep the cap flexible, continue to build complementary pieces. You don't know if you're going to have to go out and get a 3-and-D wing, a stretch point guard. Keep the cap flexible for the next 2 years. And see how his game progresses, right? Two things you're going to know. You're going to know that they're going to be upgrading in talent. So you would think that his game is automatically elevated. But my question is, what will Tibbs, Kenny Payne, Woodson, how will they get him to expand his game a little bit? Not turning him into AD, you know, baby steps here, but can he put the ball on the ground a little bit, right? Can he pass it a little bit? One thing about Tibbs' offense is, whether it was Noah or Paul Anthony Towns, he had a big that was better than average at passing. You know, Noah increased his assist per game from 1.8 before Tibbs up to 5 at 2013. Obviously, I don't know if Mitch can get to that point, but again, my question is, from a development standpoint, how much will his game evolve over the next 2 years?
Yep.
And I'm willing to take my risk to go into free agency and say, okay, at this point, who do we have on this roster? Where are we going? And now, does it make sense to use his bird rights and give him a bag if that's what he commands?
But here's my thing, though. I feel like, me personally, if I feel like he's going to be at least this, when I say extend him, I'm not saying extend him for the – if I'm extending him and giving him security, I'm coming to the table with him, like, you know, 7 mil around that range, like
yeah,
a little
– yeah.
A little under market value.
A little bump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. That's the key. Right?
Exactly.
If you're going to extend him, you got to get him on that. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm not going to give him.
The question is, what's the discount? How
Rich,
much of the discount?
Rich Paul's not
seven.
Going for no discount, man. Rich Paul is
right.
Not go hand in hand.
But it's just like that. I think that's the big debate, right? That's happening on all these Twitter threads that, you know, we all jump on. It's like, well, how much is he really worth right now? You know, and I think that's a tricky thing. And I think especially, like you're alluding to, with playmaking and, yeah, maybe under Tibbs he can develop these things, but to have a big man in the modern NBA
who doesn't shoot the three, isn't really a playmaker by, you know, any. He just really does the things really a traditional big son just really well, right? Like, that's kind of what he does. But even that, a traditional big has post moves, right? Like, has
right.
some sort of offensive game away from the 2 feet around the rim.
Yeah.
So you are really, like, you have to be so elite at those skills to justify, you know, a large percentage of the cap. I think waiting, you know, it allows you to see if he's going to develop anything outside of that.
And that's why I'm waiting. And not only that, on the offensive side, how about his discipline defensively? Like, he has improved from freshman year to this year in terms of just staying out of the court. But he was still, I think, per 36, he was still averaging about 5,000 games. So, you know, can he stay on the court? You know, is he going to be a liability when they throw more switches at him and he's guarding threes and fours and twos out there on the switch? Can he stay out there on the court and not be a liability for that standpoint?
Well, first, I'm going to throw a hand grenade in. But 2 years, and I know we can't say this guy's name anymore, but let's just pretend, let's forget the trade for a second. Kristaps Porzingis, after 2 years, if you talk to Knicks fans then, when we talk about cornerstone players, right? Like, to me, that's the other thing with Mitch, is it's like, if you are a, you know, hoop junkie or a fan of the team, you know, like, what Mitch can offer. But I think that there is a feeling that, you know, the Knicks community feels his value is a little higher than maybe the broader NBA community does right now. And I just can't decide, would that allow the Knicks to sign him to a friendly deal or not? Because right now you're not competing against anyone.
Right.
So there's no way for him to see there's not anything else out there higher. So you might end up paying him more. Like, that's what I'm not sure about. It's a tricky situation, but I just think, you know, it's not a home run, and you gotta wonder, like, do you make a gamble at a time you don't have to when it's not a home run?
Agreed you wholeheartedly, man. Salute to everybody in the chat. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Creeping up on 600 on YouTube. Salute to everybody once again. Please share these videos. Salute to everybody watching on Facebook. If you guys are new in the chat, leave us a hashtag new so we can shout you guys out. So far, we've covered a potential Randle deal, Randle Conley. Leave a comment in the chat. Let us know what you think about that. And Mitchell Robinson, you know, what is Mitch's worth down the road to this team? And when do you see them, when do you feel like they should try to re-em up on the deal? I know Butch, Rich Paul and Clutch are not going to go quietly into the night on that contract. You can guarantee that one. Who else we got in the chat here? So it's all the mods. We got Ty Champ, team hashtag new. Welcome, Ty Champ. Anthony David in the chat says, keep Bobby Portis. We got a vote for Bobby Portis.
Oh, wow.
All right. Bobby's been working. Bobby's working this offseason. We got Kamario Jarvis checking in from Bermuda, I think. Kamario. All right, let's get to the phones. I haven't heard from my guy in a while. Ron Cleveland in the building, ladies and gentlemen. Ron, what's going on, man?
Man. What's going on, CP Jailer?
Ron, how you feeling, bro? Talk to me, man. How you been?
Man, hey, I've been doing good, man. I've been doing good, man. Hey, I'm listening to you guys, man, and I got to start with Mitchell Robinson. I mean, it's a no-brainer to me. The guy is a cornerstone piece for the Knicks. You go ahead and you sign him now because it's going to be cheaper to keep him at this rate. And you think about it, you can get that guy, you can lock him up for about 5 years in that 40. And even at 5 years, $40 million, you're talking $8 million a season. Even if he don't progress any further than what he does now, that's still a good deal for the Knicks. We won't bleed with that. You know what I mean? And the thing is, when you look at the reason why you would go ahead and lock him up now and why I consider him a cornerstone, we look at some of the games that this guy has where he just seriously just takes over the game and don't even have a go-to offensive repertoire other than putbacks and dunks, you know, putting stuff back around the rim, rebounding, shot blocking. Mitchell Robinson is a problem, and the ability that he has at his size, even to stay in front of guys that are smaller than him, the guy defense is exceptional. So that's what makes him a cornerstone piece. You go ahead and sign him, and you keep him. You think about it, when the last time that we had a defensive player with the mindset like him, with the ability to do that. Yeah, Kristaps was a good round-the-rim protector, but not the ability to move his feet like Porzingis. I mean, not like Mitch. Yep. You know what I mean? So you go ahead and you do that. Julius Randle, he has to go. He has to go. You can't keep Julius Randle and RJ. Both them guys like the same spots on the floor. It's going to clog the lane up. You got to move on from Julius Randle. Plus, we know he's not the future. We're not going to keep him. That Conley move, from what I'm hearing, I don't have a problem with that move at all, CPJ Ellis, man, and I tell you the reason why. We've been looking for a point guard since Stephon Marbury. We hadn't had a point guard since Stephon Marbury. Let that sink in. Let that really sink in. So, Mike Conley, and the thing is, do we want to wait on a point guard to develop? We know New York is impatient. We're impatient. Let's just be real about it. We're impatient. We can't afford to wait. We need to go ahead and just get somebody established. If we can't get Van Vliet, go ahead and get Conley. But we got to get an established point guard. And I ain't even messing with getting Chris Paul, telling you the truth. But we can't get no point guard we got to wait on. And with that, fellas, that's my take on it. Y'all have a good evening. Hey, Knicks family, we going to roll, man. There's a new sheriff in town. His name is Leon Rose. You heard me?
Salute, Ron. Good to hear from you, man. Been a minute. Listen, you know, every point guard's not going to come in and shine like John Morant. You know, it's going to take some time, and that's why I think having a stopgap. I said CP3 earlier. I was on board. I think his price may change.
Yep.
Cap situation. You know, have that influence everything. But again, you bring in the Conley, it's a nice stopgap. Maybe you can get him for way cheaper, come down on that deal a little bit once that deal expires, and have him in there as a caretaker until the point guard of the future makes his way up.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with that. And to go back to Mitch, too, like, I know he's not perfect on defense, but I still feel like just the potential for guard swing switch and block three-point shots. I don't think there's that many bigs out there who can do that, which is why I'm going to be treated by Brown.
Yeah.
And like I said, extend him, but not, you know, not give him the full big man bag. But,
yeah.
Like, you know,
like
the
Capella.
Yeah, exactly. Not the Capella bag,
not
but
Capella.
This is like, listen, we're going to invest a little bit in you because I feel like you'll be this at least.
So the max that they could give him right now, an extension, the way it works, would be, I think it was 4 years, $56 million. They could put in a signing bonus. But what about that? Like, we're talking, I think everyone agrees those $7, $8 million, you know, that's a pretty safe contract, right, to sign. But if it was more like $14, $15 million, which I've seen that a number that people guess he could be worth. Which, again, that's not, you know, that's not a max contract, but
no.
What about that? You guys think you'd be comfortable with that?
Nah, I like
God, that's too much.
Nah, that's a little bit too much of a gamble. Yeah, 7 to 8, maximum 9, closer to 10, but 14 now.
No.
Not right now. That's my guy. I'm telling you right now, that's my guy. I would wait it out. I would wait it out. And again, if they feel like he's worth it, I'll go over and have to sign back. If they're at a place where keeping him makes sense.
Yeah.
So, again, interesting debate, man. Interesting debate. Super chats came in. Raw Hebrew Remnant said, Mitch is special, period. Extend him now. He said 3 years, 24-36. So, yeah. So he's saying between 8 to 12. We should stop this in our own place. 22. It's not this no more. Maybe people can chat. No, it's not. It's just, it's a debate that the front office is going to have to have. It's a real conversation. Alan Burns.
Especially like we,
go ahead.
Like we, sorry, I was going to say, especially though, like we're saying, you're comparing to, he's going to make 1.6 and 1.8. So you got to ask yourself over the next 2 years. So it's not even like, what is he worth? You also have to compare it at, you can keep him for just that amount for 2 more years.
Right. That's exactly right. So to Alan Berman, he says, can Conley spin into 3 defenders and lose the ball? with the game on the line. Y'all really want to lose that? Hashtag Dizzy Gang. Hashtag Dizzy Gang. Hashtag Keep Mitch.
Dizzy Gang.
Listen, man, Julius, he just had the heart of a champion. That's all, man.
Yeah, I feel bad for Julius sometimes, man, because I know, like, we roast him so bad, but he's not that bad. It's just a bad fit, man.
That's a bad fit, exactly. And it just took him longer than it seemed like it should have early in the year to realize when there's five guys around me, and even, like, if you got caught along the sidelines, it's like the whole other team is surrounding you. Just that visual should be, like, pass the ball, and you wouldn't, you know?
Yeah. Well, if he's here, hopefully Pitch will, you know, get him going. You know, that's what for development. And if they bring in, you know, they're bringing in the big name coach Kenny Payne, hopefully they rein him in. It's good. Shout out Mingo Kersey, team hashtag Nukes. Mingo Kersey, everybody in team hashtag Nukes. Nukes, everybody. All right, let's get another phone call in here. Let's go to, let's go down South Florida. Oskrilla in here. What's going on, bro?
You.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up?
Yeah,
how
yeah.
Feeling,
so, yeah, yeah, I agree. So I agree.
My fault.
Yeah, I agree with Ron. You know, I think, you know, I feel the same way about Mitch. You know, I think we should lock him in. You know, before Tibbs turns him into Defensive Player of the Year, basically, because I think that's going to happen. You know, and I'll tell y'all something too. I think the same thing with Frank. I think because Frank's contract's about to be up, I think we should lock him in before he turns into something and get him on the cheap and maybe lock him in for like 4 or 5 years and have that kind of defense. Two defensive guys, real young. You know what I mean? Locked in for super cheap before they, you know, do something to increase their value.
Jails, you want to say something?
I'm a Frank fan. Like, I like Frank, but I feel like we have a lot of that Frank fan. And, yeah, I wouldn't, as much as I like Frank and I think he could be, I wouldn't lock him just yet. There's a lot more to prove. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, I think the leverage point is like, well, yeah, I mean, what can Frank even ask for right now, right? So
yeah, Frank has no leverage, and he's completely replaceable. Right now, he is what he is right now. Take him. Let's see how he executes his going to be guys like this, sure. But that.
Right, but I mean, to call his point, though, teams who get right about this stuff, right, you lock these guys in, When you can get when you have all the leverage as a
right.
team and you can get when you get right, that's the difference maker,
yeah.
right? When you
mm-hmm.
you know, Golden State, for everything they did, their key thing was they got Steph Curry coming off that injury, right?
Yep.
So they, I mean, it's all about finding these guys where it gives you then the flexibility to do other things. So, you know, it's just I guess a matter of you think, you know, Frank and Mitch are those pieces or not, but if you guess right, that gives you a big advantage.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Jails.
Oh, man, nothing important. Just something stupid. Like, I always thought if the Knicks actually did draft Steph, when he had went through his ankle problems, I feel like
they would have traded him for Melo anyway.
He would have messed it up.
Yeah, they would have traded him for Melo. His ankles would have never healed.
Yeah.
His ankles would have never healed. Somebody in the chat said that Julius blocked Mac. Is this true? We need confirmation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Julius got here. Yeah, he was on Nick of Time last week, and he was talking about Matt Julius, and he went to check up his stats or something, and then he couldn't get
it. He was just passing by and got blocked. Oh, my
yeah.
God. But my guy Alex Trataro said he got blocked. He didn't even know what he did.
Hey, man, I got blocked by Joe Buck.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
right.
That's because people refuse to think Joe Button. Yo, we had like a year-long debate, a Knicks debate, and somebody threw Joe Button in there, and he repeatedly asked, like, yo, please take
yeah.
off this thread. Nobody did.
Oh,
nobody
yeah,
took him
go,
off, and
go.
I just got blocked by
yeah.
it.
And then we've all been blocked by Howard Jack.
I haven't been blocked. I haven't been blocked by Beck, by Zola, no players. I don't know. I've been keeping a clean streak so far.
I guess so.
Isola did hit me on the DMs one time. A couple of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're part of that.
Yeah, yeah. So I am part of the Isola DMs.
Yeah. I'm not part of the DM club, but he did hit me in the comments to a fight.
So and he was like, you can do a podcast, huh? And I was like, oh, we should come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, man. I forgot. Oh, this was summer of the draft. Speaking of Frank, summer of the draft. This is the first show of Knicks Fan TV, so I'm taking a break from recording my vlog. And I'm at a bar. I'm at a happy hour on a rooftop. And so people are talking to me because they see me recording and they see me with the Knicks gear on. So I'm talking to some random dude, and he mentioned Isola. I'm like, yeah, Isola's a hack. He's trash, blah, 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 blah. And he was like, oh, he's actually my best friend. We went to high school together.
Oh, man. That's like one of those commercials, Need to Get Away.
Yeah. I was like, oh, well, yeah, you know, yeah, he's trash. All right. Wesley from Brooklyn, what's going on, man?
Hey.
How's it going?
I just want to talk about the draft.
Okay.
Being that we got such a late pick, I was thinking that they should draft the point guard Grant Riddler. And since we got two first round, I think they should get Vernon Carney from Duke.
Okay.
Center.
Who?
Udoka Obusek. From Kansas.
From Kansas. All right, appreciate the call, man. I mean, from what I read, I'm not a draft expert by any stretch, but it seems like a guy like a Grant Riley, you can get way later in the draft. Maybe he's there at 27, maybe at 38, you know, if they get him. I'm hearing good things about him. You know, people have some good things to say, but not at 8. You know, you're not going to go with him at 8, but but I'm hearing good things about Grant Riley, but he should be there for 27 or 38. Another OG back with us, Jay Ellis. This is a reunion show. Max from the Bronx in the building. What's
going
on,
Max. Yo, CP, Jay Ellis, what's good?
What's going on, bro?
Yo, CP, Jay Ellis, what's good?
Good.
I can't hear y'all if y'all talking.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, we good. We good. Go ahead with your point, bro.
Hello?
Yeah, we good, bro. Got your point.
Mm-hmm. All right, so.
Yeah, loud and
clear. All
right,
so.
Good.
All right. So, cool. So, yeah, we got to trade Julius Randle because we all know, you know, we can't have that. Because people actually think RJ had, like, a bad season. And he had, like, the worst spacing ever in history of freaking basketball. It's like it was worse than 90s Knicks basketball watching them play last year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can't have Julius on the floor. You need to develop your guys. So I asked you guys this question. You guys were debating whether you should pay Frank. Now, there's a guy named in the playoffs called, what's his name, Lou Dort, right? Now, is Lou Dort better than Frank? I don't know. Is it really a debate? Can Frank do exactly what Lou Dort was doing in this playoffs? Of course he can. You pay that man, you pay him 4 years, $20 million, $25 million, get him on the cheap. Have him be coached under Tibbs, and then watch him grow. We have, like, the worst development staff in the last couple of years. You can't just sit there with no good players, with some rookies and some young players. You know that. You didn't know how to develop nobody. You pay Mitch. You don't trade these players. You grow players. That's what Denver does. That's what smart organizations do. Now, one more thing in terms of the draft. In the draft, I think we should wait to, like, the second pick of the first round to maybe think of a point guard. Right now, we need as much spacing and versatile players as possible. So if you need an Aaron, I think his name, Naismith, who shot, like, 50% from three, or the guy that Vassell, you need those kind of players. And open the floor up for RJ and Mitch. And you'll see RJ can have his 20 points this upcoming year if you let him, if you develop the team the right way. And I'm still not down on Knox like that. I think Knox is just – he needs some fire under his belly. But Knox can hit a wide-open three. Knox can play – if he grows some muscles, he can play a small ball four. You know what I'm saying? So I think this team is not as bad as people make it seem. I just think we need the development – develop these players the right way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I hear you, man. And again, with that eight, they got options. Obviously, I don't think the trade-up is going to be there for them to get Mello, but I think Hayes could be there for them. Halliburton could be there for them. Where do they rank Lewis? Where do they rank Cole Anthony on their depth chart? How do they feel about Okoro drops? Top or sell? The Celtics with three first-round picks, 12 players on the contract, they could be a trade-down starting at 14. You know, I think there's some prospects there for the trade-down as well. So it all depends. It all depends on how the draft and how they want to utilize. But, again, I wouldn't reach up for the point guard if they don't feel like he's there for them at 8. I wouldn't reach up. There's a lot of football prospects in the draft. They feel like they can get a guy that they want to develop.
Especially when guys can drop. You know, someone like Killian Hayes, he's all over the place on the board, right?
Right.
So you could have a guy that you might have third on the whole board that is somehow available at 8. So to me, it's the guys like that that have a lot of variability that could be interesting at 8 because, like I said, you could have him really high up your board and for whatever reason he fell.
And if Killian is there at
that's
8,
your guy,
I'm taking
right
him. That's my guy. If Killian is there at 8, I'm taking him. I don't expect him to get past Detroit because I know they need a point guard. I know they got Derrick Rose. But a little older, and I feel like they want to go with a UT chip. They might use him as a trade chip eventually. But, yeah, I'm going to Killian.
Hey, I would have a problem with that. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Just a reminder, tonight's episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Dale's and JB, man, the Nuggets bounced back heavy last night against the Clippers, and the people at Manscaped want to protect your Nuggets. That's with the Lawnmower 3.0. It's cordless, excellent battery life, comes with a state-of-the-art hygiene, make no mistake. LED light, like I said, waterproof, great design. Right now, go to manscaped.com to get 20% off plus free shipping with promo code NYX. Manscaped.com, promo code NYX. Max had spoken about RJ, and speaking of RJ Barrett, the Rookie of the Year announcements were made. And John Morant, to no one's surprise, maybe. To John, he's absolutely a beast. RJ finished 8th. RJ Barrett finished 8th. Did you guys, JP and JLS, did you guys have any issues with standing?
I mean, yeah, he had to get that one third place vote to make the list. I've been saying that. I think it's Berman.
That was Berman. That was definitely Berman.
Could you tell him in his comments? You know, being like, how are people voting for Zion? He played 19 games before this Orlando thing, right?
That was Berman.
To me, I just have a hard time with, like, looking at City Ben, like, 6 or 8, whatever. I think it's just clear he clearly wasn't one of the best rookies, so I don't have a problem with it at all. And I'm not going to get upset if he's 8 instead of, you know, whatever number you want to tell me he should have been. You know, it's not all his fault. He came into a situation. You're a rookie. You start off 4-18. You have a new coach. Then you got a, you know, the president changeover, you know, spacing, everything we've talked about, right? So it's not all his fault. But he just clearly, to me, wasn't one of the top rookies. Fault or not, you know, his true shooting percentage amongst, you know, I think all players is one of the worst in the NBA. So, you know, it's there's a little blame everywhere there, but he wasn't one of the best rookies. Let's put it that way. We know that is true. Should he have been higher than 8? I guess you guys can tell me what you think there.
Yeah, we should be higher than 8. That's the risk. I get the issues and stuff. It was like, wasn't he like top 3 or top 4?
Yeah, I guess it was really advanced stats. Advanced stats, he was terrible. Right on the surface, when you talk about points, rebounds, assists, he was up there with the rest. Just advanced stats. Was he much of an impact? I think that's really the question.
Yeah, it's advanced stats, but it's like, I guess for me, like he said, like you see what happened. I guess for me,
considering how bad the spacing has been, I feel like he still seems to kind of do something despite that spacing. And even though he wasn't finishing crazy because he had three or four people draped over him like a cheap suit, he was still able to draw, like, I think he draw the most fouls out of anybody. So he's like, he still made something from nothing with the bad team. So I don't know. Ace is like, I don't know. But it is what it is. I think he's going to look completely different with shooters around him. And
yes.
He's going to look way better.
Yeah, no, that's definitely.
I think he'll look a lot better. I mean, what happened to the shooters? You know, they brought in Ellington. They brought in Bullock. Those guys have reputations for being good shooters, man. They did not deliver for them. Kevin Knox did not come for them. I think, yes, RJ was dealt a bad hand, especially in the beginning of the season when he was dealing with dominated the ball like Julius Randle. Whose favorite target was Julius. So I think he caught a bad hand there. Free throw shooting and just regular field goal percentage needs to absolutely about it. In terms of the list, you know, once you get out of the contention, right, the contenders, which is like top three, Ja ran away. So there was really
second
guessing. So I think once you get out of, like, that top three, everything else is just like whatever. I think once you see Zion at number two, you can throw the whole thing in the garbage. But
well, that's the thing.
A kid that plays 19 games and you're putting him up there second place, that's ridiculous. I think Hero got stuff from the list.
I was going to say, that's who I was going to bring up.
Tyler Hero got a damn assassin. He was completely off that list.
On a good team.
How did that happen?
On a good team. But, you know, if you look at the rest of the guys on this list, Kendrick Nunn, obviously Miami had an outstanding team. Zion, wait. Brandon Clark had a great season. Great season. He was outstanding. I thought Kobe White played okay. I thought he was okay. Mm-hmm. Second half finished strong. Eric Pascal on a worse team than the Knicks.
Get the vote.
You could argue statistically was a bit better. Terrence Davis again, world champ. You know, he played a role on Toronto and then RJ finished deep. So, whatever. I think RJ is going to use that for the motivation. We know he's in the gym. His trainer was on Twitter saying that he's working on his shot. He's working on the shiftiness. So let's see how he bounces back for a year or two.
Yeah, me too, man. He was progressing. I thought he was progressing in the last couple of months before this whole shutdown ended. I saw the free throw percentage was climbing month to month, so 3-point percentage to that injury, at least. So hopefully he builds on that and RJ's good.
Yeah, well, and you mentioned the free throws, right? Like he draws fouls. He gets to the line. So to me, that is the big thing. I mean, it's the least advanced stat, free throw shooting, right? Like,
right.
You know, he's got to knock down those free throws, and, you know, we're talking about who's the cornerstone player or not. I mean, if you're going to have Mitch and RJ 40% of your lineup for the foreseeable future, you know, if RJ's not going to shoot, you know, that really makes it where you have to overcompensate now at all the other positions.
Yeah. You got to make sure you hit.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, which is why my issue even with LaMelo Ball, like, I know now, you know, they have to trade up and everything. So maybe that doesn't happen, but I just kept thinking to myself, you're going to have three guys that you're building around and you're not sure any of them can hit a jump shot like that. You know, so anyway, so that's where I want to see improvement. It is with the shooting, but there's so many other things that, like you said, be excited about. He's still young, and I think in the right spot.
Well, when you think about Tibbs, and you think in particular about the Butler comps, right? I mean, Jimmy's shooting percentages weren't that great coming in. He was a better field goal free throw shooter than RJ in college coming in from Kentucky. He was always above 75%. But you look at a Jimmy who. 3-point numbers were pretty abysmal this season, shooting 40% in the bubble. You know, and when it comes to RJ, if you're going to look at Jimmy and how he's being used, of course, in the context of Hibs, you know, what about a clutch back, right? Like, what about those traits that don't pop necessarily on the stat sheet in the regular season, but just, you know, what Butler's showing, man, in this bubble? He's a gamer. Dog's coming out. Guys, yeah.
Nah, I have nothing. He has that it factor, man, for sure. And I saw somebody mention the post game with RJ. That's something else about, you know, these advanced NBA that they still like to free, but I think Hibbs still likes to be in the post. So you might see a little bit more post hard.
Yeah.
And he's been pretty good on post-up class. I don't remember the stats off the top of my mind, but I feel like he was top percent, like points per possession.
Well, I think anything that they could do to augment obviously lack of athleticism, he's got to use his size. Use his size to an advantage, and if that's working out the post, if you can get easy defensive 3-point line out of the post. I think that's a plus. You see how they use Jimmy on those sides. Let's see who's going to be on those weak side corners. Is it going to be Dotson or Knox or Frank?
Right.
So on. Utilizing all just so it's going to be interesting to see. All right, final call of the night. Let's go to the BX.
Mario's with us. Mario, what's going on, man?
What's up, fellas? How
y'all
doing tonight,
fellas?
Man? How y'all doing tonight, man?
How you feeling, bro? All
right.
You okay? I'm good. Yo, CP3, I called you last week, and you kind of went at me when I was telling you about Obi Toppin, and you was cracking jokes. It's all good. It's all love. But I did mention that Golden State was interested in Frank, and you guys were like that I was crazy, that maybe they might want Frank and Julius Randle for that second pick. Want to know if you actually saw that rumor on the news on the website today, because it was up. And also, if you had to keep Mitch or RJ, which one would you rather keep? I think I'd rather keep Mitch than RJ. What do you take? What do you take?
I appreciate the call. Yeah, I didn't hear that rumor, man. I don't. That's not out there.
No way.
That's not out there. That's not out there. I think the Knicks would walk Frank and Julius to Golden State from Manhattan on foot.
Yep.
To go bring that number 2 pick back.
So, hell yeah.
Nah, I don't think that's happening. But
no way that's happening.
Yeah, he likes OB at 8. We'll see. I think OB could slip. And I think
that's a 2K trade.
Yeah. Fellas, real quick, your reactions. Our neighbors across the bridge signed Steve Nash as the head coach of New Jersey Knicks. What do you guys think of that?
I am not. This is like a really boom or bust move, because if I'm the Knicks and I'm doing my usual take on these things, I have a hard time throwing a coach in, making him the head coach who's never coached before in his entire life. I just can't wrap my brain around that concept. Like, my first day, I'm just gonna run a whole franchise. Like, this is a learning curve. Like, it's not just coaching. It's managing personality. It's managing assistants. Like, levels. So, for me, I mean, I feel like it looks good on paper, but it might be rough.
Yeah.
That's what I'm – but, I mean, maybe you'll have Kyrie here, bare minimum. But you know, X's and O's and defense and managing personalities, I don't think very long term. At least – I don't know. That might go up if it doesn't turn around quick.
JB, what are your thoughts on it?
No, I mean, it has to worry you, the fact that, you know, it seems like Durant and Kyrie are kind of just calling the shots, right? That's who it is, and you get it. That's what comes with, you know, being able to get those guys, right? So, I just think it's a risk move, like, at any – You can hit the jackpot, right? Like, for all we know, the stuff that they know about Nash, I'd agree that it makes sense and he's ready for this and it just works. And then, you know, the roster is the roster. I mean, we can talk about coaching. I said this about the Knicks where, you know, everyone's like, well, what do you think about the hire? What do you think about the hire? It's like, the roster.
Yeah.
Get the roster better. What? The coach is going to look good. Now, again, when you're – It can make a difference, I think, in the margin. So if you're the Nets, you're thinking, I'm going to compete for a championship. I don't know. Like, does this make it where maybe you max out a little less than that? If you know, you're throwing someone into the fire who's not ready for it yet. So there's no way, though, anyone can walk away, I think, feeling like this is a great move.
Right.
There's a lot of risk.
I think they were going to make a splash once they got rid of Ackman. I thought, you know, they could have went Jeff Van Gundy to a lesser extent Mark Jackson, but he's absolutely lacklustre. So I think Steve Nash was also a big move for them. As you said, JB, it's about the horses, man. And right now they have, and with KD coming back healthy, you have Kyrie, you have Caris LeVert, who put his name on the map in the bubble. Do they keep Dinwiddie? Do they bring back Harris? They come back with another year of Jared Allen. It's going to be a nice team. Just give credit where it's due. They're going to be a very good team. So, again, it's going to come down to late-game execution. Sidelines out of bounds. Those late situations, is he going to be ready for that? Who's going to be? I think Jock Vaughn is going to be the associate head coach.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if the staff has rounded out yet, but obviously they're going to give him a guy that has extensive experience in the sidelines. I will, you know, Stephen A. had come up with the topic, not come up with the topic, he came out saying this was a light privilege situation, and jumped over all these guys, and got the job. I disagree in that, yes, there is an issue in terms of diversity in sports, period. In basketball, you only have five black head coaches. Football, it's even worse. Coaching on the technical level. But I think there's a blurred line between what should be considered privilege and what is just relationship.
Yeah.
Because this, to me, does not happen without KD and Kyrie signing off. You know, the Atkinson ouster was definitely them. Them bringing in Steve Nash was definitely them. This is who they wanted, you know. And Ty Lue, same thing. Ty Lue walked right into a championship in Cleveland. That was LeBron. LeBron wanted David Griffin. But that's what LeBron wanted. So I disagree with Stephen A. in terms of, oh, this is a situation, because this is who the players want. This is who they know who they've worked with. I can't knock them to make that decision.
Yeah, absolutely. And not to, like, Derek Fisher, too. Derek Fisher just came straight from a game.
Right.
He started coaching the Knicks.
Right. Well on his way to being one of the first coaches in Knicks history.
Yeah. Jason Kidd did the same with Brooke. Like, it's happened before with black coaches. Like you said, it is a diversity problem. But, I mean, it's more like who you know with that situation. It's more who you know. And the all-star cachet, man. The all-star cachet has left you.
That's it. JB, where are you at?
Yeah, no, I mean, to me, I think that I come from it in the two sides of if it was – in terms of how it was covered, right? So if it was the Knicks, I feel like that point would be picked at even more. Although I have seen, since I originally kind of brought that up, that, you know, more people have been talking about stuff in this. You know, I defer to you guys, I guess, more on this. It's something that I think is obviously more personal to you to touch, but I think the lack of interviews is something that maybe you look at where you say, okay, yeah, they handpicked him, but that doesn't mean you can't have guys come in for interviews, give them a chance. Even when a guy's name gets in the news that he's going for an interview, it helps elevate his status, right? So maybe you can help guys out that way. So to me, I think that's another area that you say, well, why not at least run through some interviews first, right? But I see what you're saying. It's different where This was the star player signing off on. It was just the front office and just like, you know, a white general manager making this decision without any input from anyone around him. I think you look at it a little bit differently.
Yeah. Like a Rooney Rule, right? They have the Rooney Rule in the NFL. Is it good? Is it great? Probably not, because it's still going with relationships. They did get a Mike Tomlin his job with the Steelers. You know, Steelers only had three coaches in their history, in the history of the franchise. Right, they had Chuck Noll, they had Bill Cowher, and I believe it was Tom. Few coaches. Let's don't hold me to that. But my point is, they had very few coaches. But Tomlin got in as a result of the Rooney Rule, got them a Super Bowl championship, and the rest was history. I think I like your point though, JB. It's like even if you don't intend on hiring that candidate, like the Knicks with the Jamal Moses, right? His name.
Yep.
Has now begun to percolate throughout the league. You have Udoka, whose name is starting to kind of resonate. So maybe just getting those interviews with those high-profile clubs and just getting your name out there will kind of help you down the road.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's an interesting debate. I definitely interesting, especially where we have but good conversation, fellas. Great show, JB. Definitely appreciate the return of Nick Film School.
Yeah,
Nick Fan TV and the Nick of Time show. JB, I'm going to throw it over to you to sign out.
Yeah, no, thanks, guys. It's good to be back. And then, obviously, now you can find me on Daily Nick, but also the Strickland. For anyone who hasn't checked it, it's a new site that just came out with probably a lot of the writers who used to be in, either on Twitter or reading from Posting and Toasting. The website's a little different, so it's strick.land. So it's not like strickland.com, it's strick.land. But definitely check that out, because it's some of the more, like, in-depth. Like, if you're a diehard Knicks fan and you're tired of, like, all that kind of, like, rumor stuff, whatnot, you go there and, you know, you can go down some rabbit holes on some topics, and there's a lot of good stuff. So I want to make sure I gave and I've been writing there occasionally, too, so I want to make sure I gave them a shout-out.
Strickland has been beasting with
the
pain. JLC.
Yeah, man.
Go ahead, bro.
Shout-out to you guys. Thanks for having me. Well, no new episode for Nick of Time Show this week, but definitely check out the old episodes on the podcast. So check the Mac. And then we had something about trading down. Check that out. And, yeah, follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, the KOT Show on Twitter, Nick of Time Show on Instagram, and check the blog, too, at thetimeshow.com. That's all. Back to you.
Sure, great show, fellas, and salute to everybody that joined in once again. Over 600 people joined us once again. Remember that this show is available in audio podcast format: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Amazon Alexa, iHeartRadio, everything. It's all on the Knicks Fan TV. Remember to hit that thumbs up button for your boys. Share these videos. Leave a comment in the chat. Leave a comment after we end the show to continue to support. I want to just salute some extra super chats that came in. Joshua Smalls said the super chat. He says, if Mitch is a cornerstone, 14 to 15 should be a problem. Lock him up now. He will be more expensive once he hits that unrestricted. Kanal Van Lawa said, is Barrett, Frank, and Portis for Wiggins and the second? They get cap space. Two young players that play defense. Yes, picks. Don't think Golden State would do that, but appreciate the super chat. He also says, he said the same thing. No love for my super chat. RJ, Frank, and Portis for Wiggins as a second pick. Appreciate the super chat, man. I just don't think Golden State would go that route. Michael Parker, number one fan of the show, says, trade Barrett for the second pick. I don't see it happening, but Michael Parker's out on RJ. He says, RJ's extremely overrated. Golden State is dumb enough to fight. Let the Knicks be the team that fleeces once. The steal of the draft is Alexei Pokusevsky.
There we go.
He's throwing his name in the Poku wagon. We have a nice video on Alexei Pokusevsky as well, man. Check it out.
Okay. The Pokemon is gaining steam.
Pokemon is gaining steam. Good nickname.
Yeah. Copy. I'm the nickname king.
Yeah,
so copyright that.
Shout out DJ's man, Hampton for PA 757 in the building. Paul Buffer, Chuck Allen, appreciate it. All the mods, appreciate it. JL, so you want to shout out?
Oh, yeah, definitely shout out to everybody in the chat. DJ's man, shout out to Gregory Lee. My guy, Fritz, going down as usual. I saw my guy, Wayne. Wayne Petten, our childhood friend, shout out to you, Wayne. Haymaker. Edward Figueroa, Sammy Soso, everybody, man. A. Santos, Gregory Castillo, shout out to you, man. Always
hoping
to
shout out to you, sir. Everybody be good. Enjoy your Labor Day. Enjoy that. Get your family. Be safe out there. Catch up with you guys. Number one show.